Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Littman?
Yeah.
Here. Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Derek Gitos?
Here.
And Commissioner Wiebe?
Here.
We have quorum.
Great. Thank you. I have a little introduction to read. I always make fun of this long introduction because half the meeting will be over by the time I finish reading it. But anyway, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners meeting for this date of Monday, August 15th, 2017 at 1:15. During the meeting today, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order. Oh, I gave the wrong date. Sorry. August 21st, 2017, 1:15 p.m. During the meeting today, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request to take an item out of order, which I have, and we will discuss that in a minute. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available for you on the table and located in, on the back table in the back of the room. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public are provided with the opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in one-minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period. During the multiple agenda item comment period, a member of the public may speak for up to 5 minutes on multiple agenda items. Did everybody understand that? Okay. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, then you may provide us with your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand that there are applicable laws that limit the actions that we may take during today's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you expressed. However, note that your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Please fill out a speaker card for each agenda item you want to address so that you may be heard on any agenda item. You will be called by me when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the item or items you wish to speak about on the card or cards. Copies of the speaker cards are located on the table in the back also. If you intend to speak on any item or items, you must turn in your speaker card or cards prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. Please hand the speaker card to our staff over here to the left, to Mario. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, then please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means that we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phone chargers to vibrate or silent. Thank you very much. Next item is, do we have any neighbor? I didn't receive any information about any community impact statements from neighborhood councils. So that's item number three. Item number four is the multiple agenda items, and I have one comment card from Mr. Herman. Did you want to discuss each item, or did you want to speak at the multiple agenda item.
Well, ma'am, I'll do item four on the multiple, a total cumulative 5 minutes, please.
Total 5 minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I think, okay, because you have one item that's just general public comment, and that would be for 1 minute.
So that's included in my 5 minutes, right?
But no, no, he's speaking on number four.
Mr. Schaefer, will you speak in the mic, please?
No, he was, we were looking at, we were trying to read the form.
Okay.
Item number four is a multiple agenda item, and you wanted to speak during that time, right?
Correct, ma'am.
And that's what.
5 minutes, you said.
Yeah, that's what Commissioner Schaefer was asking me, and that's a 5 minute interval. But he also wanted to speak during the public comment period, but that's only 1 minute. So altogether, he wanted to speak for 4 minutes. Isn't that correct?
At the. It's 3 minutes on that. But what is he going to speak to? I haven't seen any. You haven't seen any. Comments.
Oh, he gets 3 minutes on public comment.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You get 3 minutes on public comment.
What about my general public comment, Mr. Schaefer?
My understanding is on our general public comment, we've always given everybody 3 minutes. And with regards to the multiple agenda items, when people file multiple cards for agenda items, if they wish to speak during the multiple agenda item period with regards to each of the cards that they have submitted, then that's when they do that. Otherwise, they can speak on each of the cards for 1 minute up to a total of 5 minutes. And the only card here is that the speaker wishes to comment on agenda item number four. So he can comment on agenda item number four if he wishes to.
Which is multiple items.
Yeah, so I mean he can comment on number four, but he hasn't filed any other speaker card, so I don't know what we can't tell what multiple agenda items he wishes to address.
On the instructions that I just read, we talked about multiple agenda items and that you can speak on all of those items. You have up to 5 minutes to speak on all of those items, so you needed to list them. I realized that you needed to list them, or you can divide it up and mention and talk about them under their regular titles if you wanted to, you know, under the regular agenda items.
Right.
Are all of your items already on the agenda?
Yeah. Items 7 through.
So you can speak on each agenda item. Okay.
7 through 1.
3 minutes. It's only item 7 through 9 as I decided to put my cards on since Mr. Schaefer is running the show here.
7, 8. You've got to be able to figure out what he's
doing. So when I do each agenda item, just be sure you get a speaker card up here and then you can speak on each.
Okay, I'll come in after I'm done, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to just follow that way. So there's no need of you speaking on agenda item 4 until you get your agenda items in.
Oh, so you're going to skip me up on 4 and not let me turn in the cards on 6, 8, and 9?
Yeah, right, exactly. Turn in your speaker cards.
Right now.
Okay, turn them in. Turn them in. All right, we have one agenda item.
Once he turns them in, if he wants to speak under the once he's turned them in,
While we're getting Mr. Herman's agendas together, our item number 7 are verbal updates from representatives of the Mayor of Los Angeles City Council and the City Representatives. We're honored today to have with us Councilman Rue, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to speak and not have him go through our whole agenda waiting for us to get to it. So please come forward, and we're so happy to have you here and very grateful, and thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners, for having me here today and calling me up. Thank you, Commissioner President Atkins and Vice President Lippman for meeting with me last week. It was great having a conversation, and of course, to Commissioner Wiebe, who is from my district as well, and had many opportunities to have long conversations. And I also was able to meet your two new colleagues who will be sworn in tomorrow. They are great. I think they'll be a wonderful addition to your commission. And I really, really look forward to working with all of you. And I am super excited to be the new chair for that oversees DUNE. And, you know, as you know, I'm very excited because I really believe in this system. And I could boast and say I am the only council member to have been part of a neighborhood council. But on top of that, I could go even further. My policy director, who will be staffing me on this committee, Nick Greif, is currently a neighborhood council president of his neighborhood council. But I also have several other staff who are also part of their neighborhood councils and where they live. So it's not just myself. My entire team is vested in the neighborhood council system. And I really believe we are at a turning point. The neighborhood council, it has grown out of its infancy. I know there's lots of problems, disputes, but I think that comes from a healthy, robust system. And I know talking with many of you, there's been lots of talks of different reforms, different changes, and lots of interest. And I am very much looking forward to implementing those reforms, making sure that we go forward. And I think the proof is in the pudding. You could see how the neighborhood, whether it's a developer, whether it's other local neighborhood issues, everyone is consulting neighborhood councils. On top of that, I mean, the predecessor, the chair of the neighborhood councils for Dunn was the president himself, President Weston, who, after handing down the chairmanship to myself, which I'm very honored to have, he's still on the committee as well. So it will be myself, vice chaired by Weston, and also the third member is Councilmember Gil Cedillo. So this is invigorating. Like I said, I know that there's a lot of proposals that have been presented, changes and reforms to make the neighborhood council more responsive to neighborhoods, more influential in city government, and more sustainable. So I'm really, really looking forward to working on all of these issues with you as a partner, as a collaborator. I hope to come to more of these meetings, and as well as having a partnership where we could work together to implement and make sure that the neighborhood council realizes to its full potential everything that it can be and will be. So thank you so very much, commissioners, and I look forward to our continued dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from anyone?
Brief comment.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Schaefer.
Thank you to our council member of the alliance that you showed up at last year. Is moving forward.
Yes.
And hopefully as we come up with some things and we're looking for some things to get neighborhood councils into the fold and organized, that we can come to your committee and get some motions there.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Commissioner Schaefer. Last year, we were fortunate enough, almost a year and a half ago, when the first El Niños were supposed to come, where we did massive preparation, and luckily I know a lot of our communities have CERT teams and neighborhood councils in place, and I know Commissioner Schaffner stepped up and brought the neighborhood councils in short time. I mean, it was an amazing system. We had representatives from all majority of the neighborhood councils throughout the city who participated in an emergency management division training and preparation for the El Niño. Luckily, it didn't happen, but preparation is always key, and I think that went a long way in helping the EMD and the various city departments and families to work with. It's not about creating a new wheel, but working with the existing wheels and existing resources that are in place. Case in point, our 96 neighborhood councils, which are already there on the ground, who know the people in the neighborhood, who knows the neighborhood, and all the crevices and corners and everything that needs to be done. So I think that was a great partnership. Thank you, Commissioner, for really not just participating, but really advocating and getting ahead. But and I'm glad that it's still there, and that's something we could definitely work with and expand on. But like I said, there's so much potential that's yet to be realized with neighborhood councils.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we will go back to our order. Okay. Now, everybody has to understand that on these requests, I always speak to Mr. Schaefer because I'm learning. This is my first meeting as chairing, and I have to get these cards straight. But now, Mr. Herman, I have four. speaker cards from you. And now you can speak on the multiple if you want to speak all at once on all of them, or you can speak individually on each item. And you have up to 5 minutes for the multiple items. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm on multiple here.
You doing multiple then?
Yeah, I'm reminding you of the notice of complaint under the right to sue under the document DFEH, that it's not just been the history, but it's now the present, that the city of Los Angeles has continued to viciously discriminate against people who suffer from disabilities. Your racist, Nazi, Hitler style of conducting business against people, such as our mayor, who doesn't represent any much one of us, especially like, for example, when you raise our taxes on trash. Nobody wants to pay more, like 300% on taxes. What do you got there, Ms. Hawkins?
Excuse me, can we just stop this time for
hold
just
one time.
Moment? Hold my time. I want to hold this time, please. Mr. Herman, can I just have a clarification which agenda item you're currently addressing?
Well, I'm doing the what you call a multiple agenda item number 4, ma'am, which is under the general public comments on non-agenda item.
Right, right. No. Number 4 is just for you to have multiple comments on agendized items. You have a separate opportunity to speak on for public comment on non-agendized items. So that's separate time. That non-agendized items is a separate time period for you to speak.
Okay, so you don't want me to go on topic 9 right now?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so use your 5 minutes just for agendized items, and then you, no, number 9,
number 6,
you will be called at number 9 to talk on the non-agendized items. So can you speak on something, anything from
what I signed
five,
up for?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Right, ma'am.
Just for clarification, he did put in the speaker cards for 6, 8, and 9. Agendized items for 6, 8, and 9.
Right, but number nine is handled differently.
Do this.
Oh, okay.
So it should just be on
6 and 8.
6 and 6 and 6 and 8.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we're on
nine,
7 and 8, right?
Huh?
I didn't sign up for 6, but if you want to give it to me, I'll do 6,
okay,
7, and 8.
Which ones did you
7 and 8, ma'am, and 9.
Okay. Oh. 9 you'll speak when number 9 comes up.
Correct.
Right, and then so now you're using your time.
My 5 minutes, right.
To speak on the other items.
Right.
So 7 and 8 are the two agenda items.
Are we ready?
Okay.
Are we ready?
You're ready.
Now that we're talking about the updates from representatives of the mayor, you heard Mr. Rue. He says those representatives are for our favor. Now, this commission was set up to protect our neighborhoods. The attack on our trash is very offensive because not only did you hear it from me, but you heard it from the media. On the news, stating that people are now being taxed up the ass for trash. And yet we recycle the most trash in LA and get nothing out of it but to pay more taxes. Now, it's part of this commission and the neighborhood commissions and the community commissioners to take care of goddamn business on behalf of people like me who are poor that just want to rent out our homes and take our goddamn trash out to the sidewalk and street so motherfuckers don't have to tax us more than we're being taxed and being misrepresented by taxation. This is not nothing simple. It's something you could correct. Tell the goddamn mayor to stop taking his little fancy trips across the world and come here and do his goddamn fucking business. That's all. And then I go into item 8, verbal updates from representatives of Los Angeles Neighborhood Council, budget advocates. Now, if the budget advocates are concerned about our trash, you go out there and find out what's the real reason behind the Department of Sanitation. What the fuck is Enrique doing with our trash? He told me this morning it's going to be all right. It's not all right. Motherfuckers are paying $300 to $600 on rates of trash at a time when they're just paying less than $100. What does it take to pick up trash? You want us to throw our goddamn trash in the street so you can see us live like a third world country like they do in Mexico? This is no sanctuary city. We pay our taxes. And no one's going to bring treason against the 45th president for putting up a motherfucking fence to stop all the trash from piling up in our goddamn sanctuary cities. Because Brad Sherman, that white motherfucking Democrat from Van Nuys, says he wants Trump impeached. Well, I want this committee impeached for treason against the advocates and the neighbors who are the stakeholders asking for responsibility and accountability. Otherwise, we can't live with the fucking trash in our neighborhoods. I know I sure can't. It's horrible. And neighborhood council budget advocates provide input to the city's budget. Well, that goddamn Mr. Krikorian doesn't allow us to speak. He's only about the so-called Armenian genocide. Well, there's genocides in every race, every country. African Americans come first for jobs in the budget. Then come all of us wetbacks that want to live in a goddamn free country, liberty, and quality of life with the same provisions to take out the goddamn trash. So in addition to my budget advocates, stop the bleeding of the trash. Get on the goddamn webpage, Facebook, and tell them pick up the fucking trash for less than the taxes you're asking us to pay, Eric Garcetti, you white poverty pimp.
Thank you. Back to our regular, well, no, that is regular. Number five is, going to agenda item number five, is the approval of the minutes of the meeting of June the 19th, 2017, Board of Neighborhood regular meeting minutes. Has everybody seen them? Are there any changes or amendments that anyone would like to make? Commissioner Schaefer?
Did have two comments, but I see that they changed them already. Item number nine, public comment, under John Kuzman. I believe he was referring to when he said not in sync with the Brown Act, and it says here Fifth Amendment right. I believe I heard him in my notes say Brown Act and First Amendment, free speech as opposed to self-incrimination. Other than that, they've already been corrected with the other, which had to do with the bylaws conforming to the plan.
That's already been corrected?
Yeah.
So, can I hear a motion to accept the minutes as corrected?
I move that the minutes be accepted as corrected.
Second?
I'll second it.
It was moved by Commissioner Wiebe and seconded by Commissioner Schaefer that we accept the minutes from June the 19th. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Oh. Are you an aye for the minutes?
I wasn't here, so.
Oh. All right, motion passed. Okay, next item. This is
number six.
Oh, we had approved the minutes for July the 12th?
No, we haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, some more minutes to be approved. I didn't realize. Item number six, approval of the minutes of the meeting of July the 12th. 2017 Board of Neighborhood Commissioners regular meeting minutes. Has everybody seen those? Any comments or amendments or corrections to the minutes of July the 12th?
None.
No? Anything? Commissioner Schaefer?
Nothing that I saw.
All right. Is there a motion to accept the minutes for July 12th, 2017?
So move.
Moved by Commissioner Schaefer, seconded by Commissioner Wiebe. All in favor accepting the minutes of July the 12th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes have been approved. Okay. Okay, we are now, we've done, oh no, we haven't. We just heard from one person. Okay. Item number eight. Verbal updates from representatives of the budget advocates.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Afternoon.
I'm Brian Allen. I'm from Granada Hills North Neighborhood Council, and I represent the budget advocates, at least today. There isn't much happening at the moment. The budget advocates are at the moment trying to stay laser focused on getting started for the year. We have been setting up committees, and the committees are almost set up, and we are now in the process of trying to make contact with the departments in order to start the meetings. We did, however, take up recently the issue of equity funding of neighborhood councils, and we also tabled it because it is something that you are looking into, and we don't see the need to duplicate that at the time. We also looked at the, or it was brought up, the issue of Wells Fargo and the new bank concept, and we also have tabled that for the time being as we don't have enough information on it. Other than that, we are going to be at the Congress, and we are going to be presenting information with regards to the budget itself, trying to explain that to anyone who wants to listen. As it is a difficult process. And you want something to? Let me turn it over to Glenn for a second.
I was going to wait till you finished.
That's okay.
Glenn Bailey, back as a budget advocate for this year. The one thing I wanted to add was that regarding Regional Budget Day, which we, the commissioners are encouraged to participate in, but just as importantly, you're encouraged to help us outreach to the various neighborhood councils.
What's that date again?
Well, that's what I wanted to say, was that it has varied over the past years. It's varied in being held in October, November, January, February. So right now, I just wanted to indicate that based on Saturday's meeting, it looks like we're headed towards a January time frame. No date has been set. So that's, you know, otherwise it's a rush before the holidays, and during the holidays may not be all that successful, after the holidays. So it has been done then before. So I just wanted to let you know, because some people do ask, is it happening in the next month, couple months or what? But that's where I think we're headed.
Our biggest issue on that is going to be attendance. We're going to have to do some outreach to make sure that it gets there, and we're going to ask all of the people we can contact to promote it. Which is the same thing as we have an ongoing issue to try and promote the neighborhood council's budget reps to get involved. And we are looking for as many people to be involved in this as possible in that respect. We're not foolish. We know that there's going to be that many, but if we can get more, that would be good. Is there any questions?
Commissioner Libman? So you didn't want to take a position or throw out some ideas on budgeting or neighborhood council funds?
I'm just not sure I understood that.
You said you wanted to wait for us to bring up the item of neighborhood council funding, and I just we'd love if y'all wanted to have a conversation. I think we'd be interested in your opinion.
I think the budget advocates would love to have that conversation. We just don't want to intercede in this in place of what's already going on. We could very easily address that subject. It's a difficult subject, but we could easily get into it. I know that there has been action in the past that we are still trying to decipher, but it is a very difficult process to come to a conclusion, and If you want us to get involved with you, we would be more than happy. I can't speak on behalf of the budget advocates for that, but I can say that some of us would definitely, and we could take it back to the budget advocates and ask their opinion. Do you have anything to say on that, Glenn? Any other questions?
Just a question about your process. Just wondering, since the advocates were just recently elected, would they be reelected in January, or is it just a general meeting in January?
The budget advocates are elected for a one-year period at budget day. That's already happened. We are the new budget advocates, and they will stay in place until the next budget day next year. And that process will continue to include them in all of the activities.
So regional budget day is an opportunity partway through the process to reconnect with the various budget reps and the stakeholders and neighborhood council board members on the work of the budget advocates to date and their feedback on the issues of concern to them that have budget implications. And so whenever it is held, it's a snapshot in time as to how much work the budget advocates have done by that time. So having it later in January, there may be white paper or department write-ups that have been done, more 3 months more of work, et cetera. But
Thank you.
Yeah, is that helpful?
That's very helpful. Thank you.
In a nutshell, it really is just an outreach. It's a very important but specifically planned outreach.
Yeah, Commissioner Wiebe, just for your information, because I participated in a couple of them, and they're very, very helpful because they also explain how the system works, and then they talk about specific issues, and people bring up their. And the one I went to was very well attended in South Los Angeles region.
Thank you.
Okay. Could I if it's held in the January February time frame, that's also a reminder to neighborhood councils that the mayor will be releasing his budget on April 20th, and that the City Council Budget and Finance Committee will be going over each department, shortly thereafter, end of April, beginning of May, and that's a process that neighborhood councils are very much encouraged to participate in as well. So, it's regardless of when it's held, it's said, but, just a few months prior to that process, it's a reminder to them.
Okay. Any other comments from anyone? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're at item number 9, which is general public comments, and we can go right in order. Mr. Herman, did you have item number 9?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was trying to read that number. And you have
3 minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to go back on Mr. Spindler's comment regarding translation services under GM Ms. Liu. But the understanding is that the city attorney's service is highly recommended on the matter of this discussion of confusement on the agenda as brought up earlier between myself and the president and co-chair Mr. Schaefer there. But that's a different topic. Now, in regards to the Brown Act, is just a reminder at state level that based on my complaint of the right to sue letter that under Government Code Section 12965 Subdivision B, you may bring a civil action under the provisions of Fair Employment and Housing Act against any person, any organization, or agency named in reference to a complaint in regards to ADA Title II, Title III discrimination, which I am making reference to the City of Los Angeles highly because of its regards and disregard mainly to the Brown Act 54950, 54963. You cannot silence a critic. Judge Dean Pergeson ruled that what may seem offensive to one's perspective is one's reason to say what he's saying, not for you to judge. After all, Mr. Schaefer, you are not a judge at this point. And then I'm going to go into reference on account to the Brandenburg versus Ohio 395 U.S. 444 Number 492, argued in February 27, 1969, and decided on June 9, 1969. And it's a significant issue. How far is the nigger going to? Yeah, this is what we are going to do to the niggers, a dirty nigger. Send the Jews back to Israel, and let's give them back to the dark garden. Save America. Let's go back to constitutional betterment. Bury the niggers. We intend to do our part. Give us our state right. Give us freedom for the whites. But nigger will have to fight for every inch he gets from now on. That's in regards to independent living in Southern California, the way the disabled have to fight for every fucking inch under the ADA, Federal Housing Act. I'm looking forward for that lawsuit. And in addition to that, regarding the highlights of my concerns is, please, as a reminder, follow the Brown Act. Otherwise, you might become a respondent in the right to sue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bailey, you have some comments on the public comment?
Yes, and they were regarding neighborhood councils. First of all, I've passed out in the past, so Glenn Bailey speaking as an individual. I've passed out in the past the Congress of Neighborhoods bookmark, so if anyone hasn't yet received it, pass it around again. Registration is now open, and so strongly urge you to encourage when you visit your neighborhood councils. What I do is I ask them, how many of you are registered? Let them show their hands, and that kind of... It gives credit to people who've registered, and lets the other people know that, you know, there are some people registered and they need to do it. The other thing I just wanted to share with you is the Valley Disaster Preparedness Fair, which this year is the 10th annual fair. Last year attracted about 3,000 attendees. It's probably one of the largest in the city. It had to relocate from the fire station it had been held at, and it's now been moved to the Northridge Fashion Center, and it'll be held on October 7th. I do have flyers on this. Even though it's in the Valley, you're all welcome, and so are all the neighborhood councils. And some of them actually, we had one neighborhood council as far away as the harbor last time. So
start?
10 a.m. to 2. It's on the flyer. And if you look on the back side, there's a list of the speakers and the times for the speakers, so that may be of interest. So in my remaining seconds, I want to just comment on a couple of things. I know in a little bit you're going to be hearing a presentation about the new funding program. I just wanted to urge the commissioners to visit the dashboard and check out the listing for your particular neighborhood councils, see if they've posted an agenda. See if they've, what type of activity they've had with their payment card, purchase cards. See if they've posted receipts, how long it's taken them to post receipts. Give you a sense before you go to their meeting of how well they're doing. There are a few that need a little help, but I think overall I'm personally impressed with the system. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. You can look at every one of your councils, and I think that'll be helpful to you to know where they stand. They all should have be able to if they post the receipts, they should all be able to push that button to generate an MER for them to approve at that meeting from the previous month, unless they're in the first 5 days of the month. But that's another story. I don't think in 14 seconds I can cover my next topic, so I'll save that for another time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn, do you want the best of the flyers?
Sure. Not as well. Thank you. Hold on just a sec. Okay, that was all the public comments for number 9. So now we're at number 10, the general manager's report. Gracie.
Good afternoon. Gracie Liu, general manager for the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. So we are... working on a few things, obviously coordinating with the Congress and finalizing the staffing and also the bridge exhibition. As we've mentioned before, we will be doing an exhibition on neighborhood councils in the bridge between City Hall East and City Hall. And it'll kind of tell some of the history of neighborhood councils and what neighborhood councils are doing for the city. And we're tying this in, hopefully, to just a celebration of civic engagement in Los Angeles, particularly neighborhood councils, for the month of September. So it'll be up for the whole month and for our City Hall visitors and our city staff to see. And the other major thing we've been working on is the election reports back to the Health Education Neighborhood Councils Committee, particularly around the timing of the 2018 Neighborhood Council elections, and which we recommended that we push to 2019 to allow us to properly prepare and to also deal with build-outs, hopefully, for the and corrections for the online voting component for neighborhood council elections. This will be going before the committee tomorrow afternoon at 1, and the city clerk has also submitted a report on the changes to online voting that need to be addressed before the next neighborhood council elections. We submitted for election outreach different modified budgets with different outcomes depending on how much money that we get to conduct election outreach. So the committee was interested, what we currently have $106,000 to conduct neighborhood council election outreach, and the committee was interested in, well, what if you had an additional $288,000 or additional $500,000 or $1 million? What would those various election amounts get? And so we provided in our report changes in terms of outcomes that and performance metrics that we thought could happen with those amounts. However, we wanted to be clear that any election outreach that we do that's citywide, we definitely want to work with neighborhood councils in a type of working group to plan that out. And again, if elections are pushed to 2019, that would allow us the sufficient time to make sure that happens. Aside from that, we are also working on a civic university for city staff, and that is something that we're putting on next Monday in council chambers, and we are working with Pat Brown Institute and the mayor's office to do that. It's the other part of our mission, aside from working with neighborhood councils directly and supporting them, is to work with city departments in terms of how to better engage neighborhood councils in their work. And so this is part of the other duties that we do for the city. So thanks to Mike Fong for helping us put that together. And the invite to that will be going to the city council electeds as well as the general managers to share with their staff. And then any other field or homelessness? I know we're having a meeting. Did you want to provide some info for that?
Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. The next homelessness liaison meeting will be on Wednesday, September 30th at 6 p.m. at the Ron Deaton Auditorium at 100 First Street. We'll be having representatives from the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority there and a presentation on LA Rise. And it's an opportunity for all neighborhood council board members who are interested in working on the homelessness issue to also get updates on the implementation of Measure H and Measure Triple H. Thank you.
What day is that?
That is Wednesday, September 30th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. August 30th.
Yeah, next week.
In August.
Maybe a month later. Yes. And then just some other things that we've mentioned before in our neighborhood council profiles that are going out. We are looking at doing a demographic survey of existing neighborhood councils. We've tied that in with some census training in the last month. And so in September, actually starting probably later this week into September. Just expect to hear that from neighborhood councils that we will be asking boards to provide us some basic demographic information, which would be like gender, age range, and ethnicity, if they would like to provide that information. They're totally perfectly fine not to, and at that point, we likely our staff will just provide a guess, and we will note that we guessed. And then that would actually help us in terms of kind of showcasing the diversity of our neighborhood councils that we know is out there. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any of the commissioners have any questions for the general manager?
Aren't you lucky?
I know. Yay. Yay for me.
All right. So much for the general manager's report.
Thank you.
Next, I think we have a special presentation today. Anyway, next is item number 11, the Department of City Planning report on community outreach efforts, including social media campaign and planning 101 training to provide stakeholders an overview of the basics of planning, land use, and zoning. That could be interesting. And hello.
Good afternoon. Yari Kishishan with the Department of City Planning. On behalf of the department, I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to address this commission about our recent outreach efforts around the Planning 101s and the launch of our social media platforms. When our director, Vince Bertoni, started in February 2016, he spoke to the importance of transparency and efficiency in order to demystify the planning process and to make planning more readily understandable. And he emphasized as part of that message and mandate that Mayor Garcetti gave him the importance of approaching 2017 with a newfound sense of purpose. And to that end, he established an external affairs unit. It's a relatively nimble and small unit that I have the honor of overseeing, comprising of communications function, a neighborhood liaison, which we have not had for some years now, along with a council liaison, all charged with the importance of addressing the unique needs of our neighborhoods and to make the department more responsive to the people we serve and more community-driven in our overall approach to planning. Our Planning 101 is one example of what we've been able to accomplish in 3 months since we've been able to hire, alongside not only our unit, but the department as a whole and the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. We've facilitated 6 trainings throughout the month of August, trainings that provided an overview and a basic overview of land use, planning, and zoning. And it addressed what is planning, who the key players are, the underlying purpose, planning in Los Angeles, and how we are structured. All relevant information that was intended to provide context and greater understanding of our mandate and how we operate as a city department. But in addition, we also provided an overview during these meetings on long-range planning, the general plan, the community plan, the corresponding updates with both, and of course, our zoning laws and regulations. During which time, we also incorporated discussion about the public participation process and community involvement to better engage and channel our message externally, and of course, with that, to add cohesion and consistency. We relied on our newly created social media platforms. Now, for the first time, we have department-wide use of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all of this has played an integral role in reaching a new demographic. What we've seen in the first month alone is not only did we reach an audience that typically did not attend or engage us at community events, but we also saw diversity in terms of individuals that attended our 101s, from neighborhood council groups to CBOs to nonprofits. We had a wide array of representation from city departments. And as we are growing our social media and looking at our analytics, what we're noticing is we also have a good representation between male and female and also an international following, folks that are very much attuned to the developments of both policy and project planning. And overall, the reaction thus far has been successful in the first month alone, as I mentioned. And as we move forward with not just the Planning 101s, but our mission as in the unit, what we've noticed and what we've been very pleased to see is increased interest from universities, local schools, community settings, and more requests to give these 101 trainings throughout the city. And our goal, of course, is with 2018, not only to make this information available online so that individuals can actually view this at their own convenience or at the convenience of their home, but also to add to the training and provide an overview of project planning and the development process as a whole. So as we move forward, we, of course, want to be mindful of the charge that our director and our mayor has given us, and to make sure that the Department of City Planning is visionary in how we write the next chapter of LA's history, innovative in how we prioritize the values and needs of our changing population, and with that, transparent in how we bridge diverse opinions and foster creative solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me ask two questions first, and then I'll pass it to the rest of the commissioners. Because you commented on the 101 training and all the different categories of folks that you've been reaching. Do you know how many neighborhood counselors you've reached?
We do. I don't have the exact number with me, but we have encouraged everyone that attended to sign in, and that's how we've been able to monitor the neighborhood councils represented at each of the 101s we've had. Of the five that have taken place, I can tell you the vast majority are, in fact, representatives from the neighborhood councils, with the exception of our East Area 101, where we appeared, based on the breakdown, to have more individuals from the community and nonprofit sphere represented.
I'd like to see some stats on that.
Absolutely. That's part of our goal in general, just as it relates to not only the 101s, but community events, as we start growing the functions to be able to better monitor and represent the groups that are present.
Now, and also, is the 101 training, is that just for in-person training, or do you have a report or something that can go online?
So both, actually. I mean, it is intended to be an interactive presentation. So in addition to providing the overview that I had alluded to, there's an interactive piece comprising of ZMIS. And for individuals who may not be familiar with ZMIS, to understand the types of tools and resources that it offers. Our goal, and something that we will be working on shortly in the next week or two, is essentially to have a video recording, so a voiceover on the presentation, so that it would provide that same context that anyone who was present would obtain, short of actually having the benefit of the Q&A. So that this would be an online piece that essentially neighborhood councils and others can view either on our website, or a neighborhood liaison can make sure it's readily available to all of you.
So would that be a link from the department maybe to the city planning? Or back and forth, or
we would be happy to work with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment to facilitate that, however makes the most sense.
Okay. Because that's the one committee that most of our neighborhood councils have is a planning committee, and so I think it would be real helpful for them. Do the commissioners have any other questions? May?
Thank you. That was a wonderful overview. A lot of pertinent information. I'm just curious about neighborhood councils, let's say if they're interested in this. I'm assuming that the information, when there is a Planning 101, goes out to the neighborhood councils. And then if they haven't taken advantage yet, where should they go to look for this information?
Absolutely. On the first question, we relied on a multi-pronged strategy to get the word out. We obviously had our neighborhood liaison make sure that all the neighborhood councils were notified. We also asked our council offices to send out notification, and for many, it was included as part of their weekly or monthly updates. Moving forward, we would continue to, I would suggest emailing either Lizette Covarrubias, who's our neighborhood liaison, or certainly myself. She will be notifying the general community when this opportunity is made available again. We're looking at 2018 as an opportunity to do a project planning overview, and with that, in that same period, to obviously give this 101 again. But, you know, as requests come in, we're obviously, we'll all make our rounds and ourselves available to provide that additional resource.
Thank you. Maggie?
Commissioner Maggie, Derek Kiros. I have a question on your city planning 101. How is it, the information given, is it about like a piece of land? So if I'm an owner of a piece of land, is it to benefit me on how I could proceed with maybe a development? Or is it given to people? Because some of the neighbor councils sometimes, they go against projects. So is it to defeat someone that has a piece of land and wants to develop it? Or is it to want me to get, encourage me to develop something.
So for this presentation in particular, it wasn't about any project at all. It was about the policies and how the policies guide the decision-making process. So before we presented an overview of project planning and the development process as a whole, we thought it was important to frame our structure and what that means in terms of the general plan informing the objectives that projects ultimately need to be vetted by or in accordance to. For our project planning presentation, which we envision for 2018, it wouldn't necessarily be a tool for either projects to be in terms of this is how you get a project approved. More, it's intended to become a toolkit that would help educate what types of findings are required for certain entitlements. It's about understanding the structure of our project planning bureau and the core functions, who the decision makers are, and what their authorities are. One of the questions we hear a lot from neighborhood councils is understanding what is within their jurisdiction, how they can act on matters, whether it's a State Subdivision Act related matter, if it's a density bonus case. It's about making clear the policies and procedures related to that, so that you all can be better decision makers. And with that, so that we can continue to engage in open dialogue with all of you as well in terms of our role and authorities.
Okay. Thank you. So it's basic on the neutral, because I see a lot of people that have land, especially in the Glasser Park Northeast area, and they spend all this money on lawyers and stuff like that. Sometimes they don't even finish the project because they feel like they have to defend themselves on certain things. So I just wanted to know how does 101s being taught?
Right. As we get closer, one of the things that Lizette has been doing is talking to the regional alliances right now, because we only have one dedicated staffer to essentially handle this audacious task of representing the city and all 470 square miles. She's been attending the regional alliance meetings on a monthly basis, and what we can do is prior to even developing the curriculum, we could share with the relevant actors some the proposed outline that we have, and that could perhaps lend to subsequent discussions in terms of the curriculum.
Oh, that's good. It would also be good if, like, for example, there's empty lots or pieces of land and things like that, where some information be given to those owners so they also know, hey, you know what, we're also teaching this one-on-one. You own 32 parcels on this land, and come and learn about, certain procedures or stuff that the neutral teaching that you're teaching. Something like that, they're a little aware. I just see a lot of people that spend so much money on all these lawyers when all they really had to do is just kind of know the basics probably.
And that is our underlying intent. It gets back to what you just alluded to understand the very fundamental basics. And I would argue there is also a sense of sometimes misrepresentation as to what is within the jurisdiction of the planning department. We're very much relegated to looking at land use authorities, and it sounds all-encompassing, but when you look at the findings, whether it's state law or just local jurisdiction, we have a very finite set of responsibilities and parameters that we have to abide by. So,
thank you.
Of course.
Commissioner Lippman?
Yeah, thanks for coming. And I watched Vince Bertoni's first message on, I guess it was Facebook probably, or maybe Instagram, one
yes,
of them.
Both.
Both? Okay, all right. And I guess you must have influenced somebody, because Herb Weston got on Instagram stories like a week later, so I don't know if that was you or somebody else. But I wanted to get your thoughts, and maybe you don't need to answer now, but there's been some discussion for quite a long time about the need that neighborhood council or folks who are appointed to the neighborhood council's planning and land use committees in some cases have a larger influence on the most important decisions that a community might make. And, some of them have a long history with this, and some of them have no knowledge at all about it. And there's been some discussions. Some neighborhood councils require that they do a training or sign off or disclose any conflicts of interest before agreeing to be on these committees. And I'm just wondering if there's a sense from the planning department that or if there's an opportunity from the planning department, if you're working on trainings, to provide a 20-minute training that could become, that could be integrated in some way through policy changes as a mandatory training for Planning and Land Use Committee members, if there's a way to partner on that. We haven't passed a policy on that per se, but there's a possibility, you know, I mean, if there were, one of the limitations has been training, the availability of training on that. But it is something that folks have asked us to consider in the past, just because of the importance of that Planning and Land Use Committee. So I don't know if you wanted to comment on that, but I just want to put it out there.
I mean, I would say in general, the department would be happy to work with the relevant actors, the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment and the Ethics Committee, and obviously the neighborhood councils, to think through a structure that was feasible and that ultimately achieves the underlying goal that you may have. We're happy to sort of sit down with you after the fact to discuss it further.
Right. And then the awesome. And then the mayor is committed to updating all the community plans in the next 6 years. How does this whole office department that you're running integrate with those? Because those are going to be critical to neighborhood councils to participate in.
Well, just recently, the city council actually adopted the general plan surcharge.
Sure.
We had the authorities approved in the budget, and with the surcharge, now the funding in place, we anticipate to have the staffing hopefully up and running as of 2018, looking like summer. We have a report back that will be pending before the Planning and Land Use Committee, and that will outline a series of parameters and suggestions for the City Council to consider as it relates to the six-year launch of the community plan update. What we were requested to do at the request of Council and WESAR is essentially to report back on the indicators and the proposed timeline associated with the rollout of the two additional teams. So we should have more information about that.
Well, I would encourage you to reach out to the folks from the Congress who are organizing the Congress to, first of all, introduce yourself, but to propose talking about the community plans at the upcoming Congress in September?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we've been working with Cindy Claiborne, and she and along with all of you have given us the opportunity to have two sessions, one devoted to the general plan update and the other one for the community plan and the RECODE. So that will be presented in September.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Maggie Derrick Carroll.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Quick question, a little behind. What would I look for with regards to your new Facebook?
Planning for LA. Actually, the Facebook is Los Angeles Department of City Planning. Our social media handle is Planning for LA.
Planning for LA, okay. You cite Zimis as your interactive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to that. Do you sit down with anybody and walk through it? Do you show them how to relate that to recent things on a particular piece of property where you have to go to building and safety and such as that? I mean, how do you work with that?
Basically, yes, exactly what you outlined. So at our 101s, we would demonstrate 2 to 3 addresses. And what we would do as a result of that is demonstrate the capacity of Zimis, the jurisdictional information. For example, what council district do you live in? What community plan are you in? And what does that even mean in terms of your community plan area? Beyond that, we also talk about some of the corresponding applications or entitlements that are listed. How do you locate a permit associated with the site to make it more relatable? So that is all part of the curriculum, and that's something we want to do more of. And with that, add online videos and collateral and corresponding brochures, just so that, you know, for the neighborhood councils in particular, as you guys have your meetings, there are materials about planning that you can share with your audience.
I would like to say, by the way, Lissette is doing a great job.
Thanks.
I see her at various meetings. A suggestion, mm-hmm. Or maybe your thoughts, when, if at all, is planning going to be able to catch up with documents online so that some of us don't have to go to Van Nuys, stand in line, wait for 45 minutes, and finally get a copy of a two-page document that's a decision, just a decision letter. And any idea?
Well, we're working on that. I can't give you an exact timeline. As you know, ZMIS goes back about the 1990s. We are looking to make more efficiencies as the restructuring of our project planning occurred and essentially was realized. One thing that we did was contemplated how to bring auto records all in one place, in, at least in the Metro DSC, in a way to cut down an applicant, whether it's a homeowner or a developer, from the need to going to City Hall, back to the DSC, and then back to City Hall. I know management is very much looking into that, how that would work across all three of our development services centers, in the West LA, in the Valley, and of course here in downtown. I'm happy to take that comment back and follow up with you at a later time.
Okay, because I know a lot of the documents are in storage, and we've got to call and have them brought up. But just the basics to be able to get, say, the brief description on a decision letter, something like that, what happened. Okay. There was another question I was going to ask.
While you're thinking about it, I had one that I forgot about. But I just wanted to put out there that the biggest complaint that neighborhood councils have always is notification, particularly on properties, and obviously some are by right, so you know that's a little bit different, but they always ask for more notification. So any way to improve that is better. And then, do you know Mike Fong?
I do, of course.
Who doesn't know Mike Fong? You guys have a lot of policies, such as the you've got the linkage fee coming up tomorrow at the Planning Commission. And are you aware of the community, not the commission, the committee?
Yeah, so go to Plum on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. So are you aware of community impact statements?
Yes.
So I think you guys should coordinate closer on ensuring that Mike has a list of planning policies being considered so that that's pushed out in the weekly newsletter so that neighborhood councils are weighing in on those items. And you can also communicate with the department and they can feature, you know, if you're like, hey, we need input on the linkage fee, or we want input on this policy, write a community impact statement. We're really, you know, that's a real metric that we're tracking in this department. And any way that, and we know that anything that comes out of planning is controversial, so if that's a way to reach our metric in terms of community impact statements, but also get your department the comments you need from communities, that I think that there's a synergy there.
Absolutely. We don't always have the ability to control when a committee or a council would ultimately take up an item, but one area that we're looking to improve is developing a clear set of FAQs, at least on some of the bigger picture policy items, something that Lizette can then send off to the respective neighborhood councils so that they're aware of the potential changes to a policy or what council has instructed the department to essentially develop in the form of an ordinance. And, you know, one thing that we're looking to do as well is even with our newsletter, as opposed to a report back on past items, we're trying to incorporate a legislative update section. Granted, that's only quarterly, but that's another opportunity where we want to feature in advance policies that are being considered so that communities feel that they've had adequate time to give input and that there's a participation period still in place.
Did you remember what you
Yes.
asked?
Good. Thank you.
We tagged you.
Thank you very much. Along that line and other lines, perhaps you can take back to the department ZA and advisory agency hearings sometime between 8:30 and 4 o'clock during the week. Now, I can make it. Some other members of my neighborhood council can make it. An awful lot of my stakeholders can't make it. Perhaps on some issues, just as you have certain matters that must go to the CPC as opposed to the area planning commissions, you might consider there are certain items that go to ZAs or advisory agency that should be held in the evenings as opposed to the daytime so that more people can get there, or some type of interactive participation, some way they can participate either by phone or perhaps by some type of meeting, go to meeting, more like you know, online, to give comments and such. It's very difficult for people often to just type out something. A lot of them speak better than they type, and they want to submit something. Or perhaps they find out about it because now they've got the agenda, they're within the 500 feet, or their neighborhood council has allowed them to find out. But the comment period has passed, something like that. I think you'd get more participation and you would have a larger group participating. And that's some of the things we're very interested in. I know in my neighborhood, although we've put out our own multiple notices since these hearings are during the day, nobody goes to them, even though they show up at our hearings at night when they're available. They're not ready to go to the meetings during the day. It makes a big difference to the hearing officers if they've got that input. The community plan updates. Are they really, do you think, going to try and put into place six-year updates on community plans?
Well, we as a department are staffing up in order to ensure that we are launching the community plans within the allotted time to get the community plan updates through the City Planning Commission within the allotted time. So we're doing our very best. It's obviously a very challenging undertaking for a number of reasons. There's clear-cut benefits to updating all 35 within a six-year timeline, which is less than even the 10-year timeline that we had in place a couple years ago as a goal. What that means is obviously ensuring that we do an adequate amount of outreach in a shorter period. But, you know, we as a department have heard very clearly from the community, and with this added sense of urgency and support from our elected officials, are doing our very best to meet that timeline so that by 2024 we would be able to bring all the 35 up to date and before the City Planning Commission.
I live in a community that the last update was 1992. We are the poster children for the planning department. We're the Southwest Valley, where everybody's moving very rapidly. Maybe something else to take back. I am trying to get planning to attend our neighborhood council meetings. I know that I can't remember Adam's last name for right now. But he was on holiday, but I did notify the person he said to notify, and we still never heard anything back about coming to a meeting we were having to bring members of the community in, because I think you can take back that the very last thing that neighborhood councils, especially those in the Southwest Valley, want to see is 9 months after the first meeting, another meeting being held, and all the easels being set up with those wonderful pieces of poster board and being given these colored pins and asking them to poke the colored pins in where they agree or this color where they don't agree, and maybe we can talk about it. We need really more participation by planning with the communities, the individual communities, with regard to these plans. I understand your goals, but we love our planners. Sometimes we have a lack of trust because we don't hear from them. Some we really hear from, and it's really great because they're very good with us. Our relation with the planning department, neighborhood councils, is very good, especially with the early notification. Even without an MOU, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But just take back that we'd like to see the planners that are assigned to these individual neighborhood council areas, maybe even keep an eye on the agendas, so that they're aware when these meetings are occurring.
Absolutely, and I'm happy to follow up with Adam specifically on your request. And on the second piece, one of our goals is, should there be resources in the next budget, is to ensure that we can expand the neighborhood liaison function to go from one individual to five, at the very least to have one for the community plan update areas to augment the existing staffing that is already dedicated in the region. I realize that's still not adequate from the perspective of or equivalent to the numbers that each council office would have in the form of dedicated field staff, but it's been very clear from our executive team that we are looking to better engage and with that represent the planning department at the respective neighborhood council meetings as opposed to just the alliances. Certainly, as it relates to our Southwest Valley community updates or any other community update for that matter, we want to ensure that there's continued dialogue throughout the process, even through the drafting of the EIR. because there's opportunities throughout the entire process leading up to adoption for input, feedback, and refinements to the plans. So we're happy to help to the degree we can to facilitate those presentations and ensure that you're getting a timely response.
And by the way, Adam did get back to me when he got back in town. Okay. And there is one last thing, if I may. And you and I discussed this briefly at sidebar, as they call it. In certain areas where there are community plans, there are multiple planning units participating in things other than the community plans. We discussed the TODs along the Orange Line. I know that Tarzan and Sherman Oaks and Studio City, probably Woodland Hills, are very interested in the TOCs along major transit routes, because we're all along Ventura Boulevard and we have certain intersections that are going to be affected. And we'd really like to have those planners integrate into the community plan updates so that we're not surprised.
Of course, and that's something else I can take back. I would just mention, in general, the community plan team and the principal that oversees the operations within his jurisdiction are the programs you generally mentioned, at the very least the Transit Neighborhood Program. And what I can do is follow up with you after this meeting to and relay the information and ultimately our shared goal in terms of ensuring that the community plan update is done holistically and has the staff present to answer the types of questions that the communities want answered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Wiebe needs to go, so we... Okay, hold on just a sec. I just wanted to make note that one of our commissioners was about to leave.
I'm good.
Okay, go ahead, Maggie.
Thank you.
We have one public comment on number 11, Mr. Fortis.
Thank you. This is a fascinating discussion. Thank you for that. Planning and land use is an overwhelming topic that most will never learn in their lifetime, and yet they can learn enough to help their community. It's been my observation that the gentleman did read, I didn't catch his name, but he mentioned that planning and land use committees are qualified or best suited, but it's been my observation that a chair is appointed because, well, you're the vice president, you're going to chair the planning and land use. At the very first meeting, he states, I know absolutely nothing about land use, to find out the committee agrees, but they made decisions. Now, where it got a little dicey in commenting that the land use committees are best qualified is their only recommendation to the board and the council, I noticed that too. I wasn't going to overdo it. They're advisory to the board, and they're even less qualified. I stated this at Planning 101 at Mitch Englander's event, that we're not as boards, we're not even qualified, because nobody attends Plan Check, nobody attends Planning 101. It's just such a minority. And it's really sad that we have the general plan being considered right now with 35 community plans. Not sure how many are completed. But in general, boards are just, they won't even go to the training. They won't learn the complexity of land use. I've been going to every one I can for quite a number of years now, and I may know more than my whole board. But in reality, do I really know very much? I understand it better. So that's my concern, is that with all these general plan and community plans being considered, it's kind of late in the game to try to get the boards up to speed, and my concern is the outcome with them making those decisions. It's important that we do weigh in. That's our job. But maybe we can speed up the planning training and make it more mandatory, and maybe we can make up for lost time. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the only one. 11, okay. We are now up to item number 12, update and discussion on neighborhood council funding by the office of the city clerk. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andrew Choi with the Office of the City Clerk. Thank you for having us today. Just a quick update. The funding system has now been launched and it's been active for about 7 weeks now. Just some good news on that one. The system was nominated for LA Digital Government Summit Award, and it was awarded a prize. I wanted to.
You got an award already?
Yes, it was. Thank you. It was. Our office wants to thank. Our office wants to thank the work group who helped us build the system, who helped guide our process, and it truly helped. Changing our viewpoints for the needs, focusing on the needs of the neighborhood council instead of just on an administrative perspective. Following Holly Wolcott, the city clerk, who really wants to make it simpler and more accessible to the neighborhood council by working with the neighborhood council for the neighborhood council. Another couple updates. Up to now, we have about 92 neighborhood council trained on the system. However, with turnover of treasurers, our number keeps fluctuating because treasurers need to be retrained and a new treasurer's coming in needs to be retrained. And speaking of training, we'll be conducting three trainings in the next month. On August 28th, 2017, we'll be conducting a training here at City Hall. September 9th, we will be doing a training at Congress. So if you have a participant at Congress who would like to see the system, or have new treasurers who's coming to Congress who needs the training, we'll be providing the training there as well. And we'll be doing another one on September 25th. September 25th. So it's the
other 2 days.
August 28th, September 9th, and September 25th. Yes, we have additional trainings on our website right now that you'll be able to see. We have, I think, all the way through October. So the entire schedule is on the city clerk's website, which is clerk.lacity.org. On our website, you'll also be able to go into our dashboard, as Glenn Bailey said, a member of our work group. On our dashboard, you'll be able to also see updates on the current status of funding. To date, the Neighbor Council spent $234,000. It's taking approximately 1.3 days to issue a payment, and you can also see the monthly expenditure reports that's auto-generating on our system on our dashboard as well. That's in terms of where we're going. The Office of the City Clerk, in working with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, re-asked our work group to join us again in policy conversation. We're looking at changing the procedures for the NPG, Neighborhood Purposes Grants. We're also looking to discuss other parts of the policies, trying to make it simpler for the neighborhood councils to access their funds, but also clarify how to use public funds. The policies then we will be compiling into a kind of a book or a manual that we used to have that's kind of a tool or a reference guide for all incoming treasurers and available to the public at large. That's pretty much it in terms of updates for funding. I'm happy to answer any questions.
There's a subject that's been discussed and you just mentioned it. It's called policies.
Yes.
For years, the department has promulgated certain policies with regards to spending. Sometimes the neighborhood councils were asked and sometimes they weren't. Do you contemplate major changes in those policies or some of those policies? That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, with regards to any policy statements that you're going to be promulgating, do you intend to include neighborhood councils? That is, those proposed policies will go out to the neighborhood councils in advance so they have an opportunity to comment or critique them? Those are two questions.
To your first question, will there be major changes? Potentially. Right now, we're more focused on clarifying our current policies, such as required documentation for board member reimbursement. Board member reimbursement per policy is allowed through the Neighborhood Council funding program, but we're going to be clarifying what kind of documentations are needed. Other things like MPG, Neighborhood Purpose Grant, the grant purpose, the policy that determines the nature of the grant is not going to be changed, but the procedures in which it's being sent in for approval, that might be changing. So right now, I don't see major changes to the policies, but the clarifications and updates in terms of the procedures around the funding program. To your second point, do we include the neighbor councils? Yes, that is the work group. We want to work with representations from the neighborhood councils. It'd be difficult to send out the policy to all 97 neighborhood councils.
Why?
To get input on the policies from all 97 neighborhood councils.
Why would it be difficult? Excuse the interruption.
No, it's the administrative. Why would it be difficult? The main reason is just because the volume of work and the number of groups that we need to get responses from. Do we stop the process if not all of them respond? We will have the process be open and transparent of how we're developing the policies, but in terms of involving all 97, we haven't taken that up.
Is there any problem with putting a proposed policy on your website and letting people know it's there, and those who wish to review it and comment on it can do so?
Comment and review of policy and also recommendations and experience is always requested. They can do that on our website now. In terms of the policies, I will have to bring that back for management. I believe it's our goal to actually have something complete and ready for the public instead of doing the drafting process in the public.
In other words, basically, here it is. This is the end product.
No, because we are working with representation from the seven planning areas. We have members of our work group who represents the seven planning areas in terms of self. The planning areas sent in representation themselves. The Valley Alliance of Neighbor Councils recommended our three members in our work group that's part of it now. We have representation from Zapata. We have a treasurer from Zapata King who was asked by South
Philly. I know who you've got, yeah. But what I'm saying is, do you have a problem with letting neighborhood councils know in advance about major changes or changes to procedures and such as this, and giving them the opportunity, if they wish to make comment? You don't have to email everybody. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is let them know what's on the website. They can go up, and they can send in comments if they want to. Is there a problem with that? Maybe take that back and ask?
I'm going to have to take that back. That's not something I have an answer for you right now.
Yeah, because, you know, if you get wider participation, you'd be surprised at some of the people that may send in suggestions. I know you've received individual suggestions from some treasurers recently, and some of those have been taken up. So that's the kind of thing that I'm concerned about. Is I appreciate the working group, but they are a rather narrow group, and they don't generally communicate in particular with all the neighborhood councils within their planning area. So that's what I'm concerned about. To be very truthful, I'm concerned about a fait accompli. I'm concerned about that book of regulations coming out and people looking at it and making comments and saying, gee, I wish somebody had asked us about that because. Okay? That's what I'm concerned about. Thank you.
I'll take that back.
Okay. Otherwise, I've heard good words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Glenn, you had a comment on item number 12.
Yeah,
never mind.
Just in case,
oh.
I'm good. Thanks.
Are you good?
Okay. Do you mind if I ask, Madam Chair, is it okay if I ask a question, Madam President?
Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just wondering, you talked about some of the positives for the system, you know, 1.2 days to cut a check. What are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing still?
I would say we're still having a hard time. The biggest challenge, I guess, would be the learning curve with some of the neighbor councils. It is a completely new system. There are members in the community who are not as adept to technology that we're trying to help interface. But we're also getting some surprises. Individuals that has said that they were concerned and scared to use the system, they've also said it's easier now. So we're getting mixed reviews, but I would say the most difficult part is that after our trainings, we still do get phone calls saying, how do you do this, how do you do that? And it's just, it could be everything from how do you create a PDF file all the way to, I don't remember what's not allowed and allowed in terms of expenditures. And we're hoping the policy will make clarify some of those questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you work on the report regarding online elections?
No, I was not involved.
All right.
Thank you. Do have something to say. Okay, number 12.
Glenn Bailey, at the last two Valley Alliance and Neighborhood Councils, we have included on our agenda regarding the city clerk funding program for update, dialogue, questions. So I would encourage all of the alliances to do the same thing. It's not the same as reaching out to every single neighborhood council and their treasurer, but it is a forum in which you get a broad cross-section of neighborhood council. So hopefully Slank and Hank and Rack and Ark and Lank can do the same thing for each of their meetings. Just have that as an agenda item for 10 minutes or however long it takes, just as an opportunity for people to weigh in. And if the policies hit during those meetings, we can do that. That would be helpful as well. Thank you.
Discussion and possible action recommending amendments to Section 22.819 of Article 3 of Chapter 28 of the Los Angeles Administrative Code, Neighborhood Council Subdivision Ordinance 184525, and proposed amendments to subdivision ordinance. Do we have some info on that?
At the back of your package, you should have the effort that I made, that first draft or thereabouts. And it's attached to the online agenda. The main thing there were a couple things that neighborhood councils involved were concerned with. And with regards to the subdivision petition, the modifications that I think we should look at or recommend are all in italics. And with regards to what is now subdivision A, I propose that the department should notify the affected certified neighborhood councils when a subdivision petition is requested so that they know early on. Nothing may come of that request, but at least they know. And that they notify the affected neighborhood councils when the petition is actually filed or when any amendments amendments to the original are filed. And that the petition should be on the department's website. I'm not sure if it is now or not. So that is a change there, and it has to do with notice. And of course, even though some of it says shall, my take is that it shall be accomplished as soon as practicable. There's no specific time, but the department would have to make a determination when it is proper to start sending out those notices after they've been filed. I added a new section B with regards to outreach. And again, this falls upon the department. And that the department's responsible for outreach with regards to the proposed subdivision and the affected neighborhood councils. And again, I say to the extent possible, the department shall hold town hall meetings in both the proposed subdivision area and within the boundaries of any affected areas, just to give more information. And once again, it's as practicable. If it's not practicable to do it, then they would decide not to do it. But I've also said that any outreach by the department doesn't relieve the proponents of the subdivision petition their obligation to outreach, both in their area and otherwise. Bylaws and boundaries. This is a major change, and it had to do with both of the petitions that were filed in recent elections. Up until this time, Up until this time, the commission came into play after the election. And it was then our job to look at the bylaws and look at the boundaries. And once we'd approved them, it was the same as certification. And those of you who were at the meeting with regards to Herman are aware of what happened. And I was informed personally that that was a quiet meeting compared to what had been going on before. And under that section, right now, under the plan, the commission is responsible for getting petitions to form a neighborhood council and basically making the decisions. Have they done the right outreach? Have they done this? Do they conform, et cetera, et cetera? And then they finally vote whether or not to certify. It was the intent, and I was reminded that it was the intent when the subdivision ordinance was looked into, that the process should not be as onerous or formal as forming a brand new neighborhood council. And that's why some of these policies were put in. But the major policy change would be that after outreach, the department is to forward to the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners the approved application petition and the bylaws of the proposed subdivision, and that within 30 days the commission shall hold a meeting within the proposed subdivision, should be proposed subdivision area, for approval of the bylaws and proposed boundaries. And I would add that it should also be and for approval of the application. That should be added in there. As I say, this was a first draft, and after discussing things with others, I've looked at it. And in my mind, what that does is it relieves the department of being the sole decision maker with regards to applications and whether or not they fit and such as that. I know with regards to Herman, it was the department that said, one, the application was complete, and two, that it was an exception because of it fell within one of the exceptions. They would make that initial determination and then send to the commission the whole thing, and the commission would then look at the bylaws, the proposed boundaries, and do certain, is the application really proper, and does it look complete? And once the commission has approved that, and I think some of the language that's in the ordinance would be good to put in here, and that is that the commission would have the ability to approve or amend the bylaws as proposed and amend the proposed boundaries as proposed, and that's within the current ordinance, so I imagine that should be part of it. Then it would go out for an election. And if the election succeeded, the new proposed neighborhood council would become certified based on the election results. And that would be the department would have the responsibility of conducting the election and then certifying the election after any challenges. And once that certification was out, that would be the same as certifying the neighborhood council. And the reason for that is that it would give those that are voting both the people in the stakeholders in the proposed area and the stakeholders in the current neighborhood council or neighborhood councils full disclosure about what they're voting for. What we heard at the Herman election, and it was an honest statement. It was a statement based on the ordinance that all they were voting on was up or down on the subdivision. They weren't voting on the boundaries. They weren't voting on the bylaws. And that was a true statement because the bylaws and boundaries were not to become final until the commission had reviewed them. But we heard comments by people saying, had we known, had we seen what these boundaries were, we might have had people voting differently. And so that's the big change here, is that everybody will know ahead of time exactly what they're voting on. Yeah. And then last but not least are the elections. And this again falls on the department, and I don't know how they would look at it and such as that, but it would again be to the extent practicable that, or the extent possible, to have multiple polling locations. And I guess now this would fall, I'm not sure if it would continue to fall on the department or if it would fall on the clerk's office who conducts elections. It may fall on the clerk's office. Because that is just it seemed to me a more fair way. I look at what I consider may have been unfair comments with regards to the Skid Row election about persons not wanting to go to certain areas to vote at certain times of the day. And at the Herman, that it would have been more convenient because the election was actually at a time and place of convenience to the subdividers. That may change as online voting expands, and if online voting expands and then it would apply to subdivisions as well as to regular elections. Maybe there's no need for multiple voting locations. But until that occurs, that would be it. So with some of those changes, and I'll try and redo some of them to change, like number C, to include current language from the ordinance with regards to what we're supposed to be doing. I think that this would be something that we should put out to neighborhood councils, let them look at it over the next few months, see what comments we get back, and then finalize on a motion to say, here, let's go forward and propose this to, it would now be Council Member Rue's committee. Could they put forth a motion to amend the ordinance in this way? And once again, I'll say the major difference, the biggest difference, is the role of the commission before the elections as opposed to after the elections.
Commissioner Derek Heroes, you had a question?
No. Commissioner Maggie Derek Heroes, I just had a comment. I also heard a lot of people saying, I didn't bother reading certain thing, so I just voted on this because I thought it was just this. So some people didn't really even want to look into the information. So when they were voting for something, they didn't realize it was a little bit more than just that one vote. That's it.
Which I think is what we're trying to reach at in this. So the procedure would be that you had a couple of little changes you were going to make, and then once they're made, send them out for comment from the neighborhood councils, and then they come back and comment to the commission.
Well, the proposal would be to have it on the, the next two or three agendas,
agenda
and perhaps once there's some revisions, if the general manager's report, maybe we could ask the department to put it up on their website under commission and have a link to it so people could actually go up there and look at it. Because I know they're not going to come to our...
But also on the agenda for public comment, right?
Yeah, well, we'll have it on there for public comment. But I know that the majority aren't going to go there and click on the link to go find it off of our agendas. But if the general manager was good enough to put it out in her report with a link, I'm sure that there's a number that would look at it and see what gives.
Gracie Liu, General Manager for the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. We'd be happy to do that. I just want to point out some time limitations, though. If tomorrow at the Health Education Neighbor Council's committee, the Neighbor Council elections are pushed to 2019, we will likely reopen subdivision applications in October of this year in order to align with the new election cycle. So we'll be limited on time in terms of, you know, the months that you want to take for NCs to weigh in on this. We also have a time limit in that we are supposed to provide a report back to the committee within 45 days, which will give us probably till the first week of December, or excuse me, September, to report back on the subdivision elections and any requests for changes. We were going to request changes similar to this, basically in essence asking to the committee to instruct or to request city attorney's office to look at changing the order of how subdivisions are reviewed so that the commission would approve the bylaws and the boundaries first before we hold the election. So very similar to what Commissioner Schaefer has proposed. And then we're hoping that would, you know, be changed in time for subdivisions for this year. It's going to cut close. I mean, we're going to open the application process and accept applications, and then hopefully by the time that we come to actually reviewing the applications and selecting which ones go forward, that this will be approved by City Council changes.
So perhaps we should get this out fast, then look at where it's going with the committee and such based on our general manager's view, and maybe it be that we'll have to shorten the time period on it.
Can we talk a little bit about procedure, and then what are we talking about in terms of a time frame? So we have what we think should be the changes with a few little things that came up today. Write those up, and then you would take them? I mean, we would send them to the...
Yeah, if you would like to, you know, put these out as, you know, official changes that the commission is looking at, then we can definitely post them as suggested by Commissioner Schaefer. I would also include them in our subdivision report so that the committee would know that the commission is looking at this as well. So they may actually instruct request the city attorney's office to do some changes or in line with this.
So do we vote on, or do we vote today on accepting the concept of the bylaws, of the changes to the subdivision, or do we just, because we're still working on it, send it to you, look at it, but we haven't really formally said that we like Mr. Schaefer's changes.
Yeah, I would ask city attorney to weigh in on next steps to accomplish what you would like to do.
Good afternoon, Elise Rudin, city attorney. It probably makes more sense to have the proposed changes and then have them submitted to the city attorney's office to look over, and that way, after it's, you know, been reviewed and it's all the language has been approved or the suggestions have already gone out, then it makes more sense, I would think, to vote on a final final proposal.
I agree. I mean, it should be reviewed. But I guess my question is just to obviously hurry the process along. Not that I have anything against the city attorney's office, but I can see it sitting over there and missing the deadline for the next committee hearing. Should we still here at least vote on the concept that we approve the concept that we would like Commissioner Schaefer to continue work on the on our ideas for subdivision, which includes getting information ahead of time before the subdivision plan is submitted by the neighborhood council. You see what I mean? Do we need to do something in advance to get to move it along to the city attorney's office, or does, because the way it is now, he has the ideas that we have talked about, but we haven't voted on them, and he certainly can give them, you know, to be reviewed by the city attorney, but we haven't done anything formally. And I'm just wondering, should we do something formally to say, yes, we agree with this process or procedure to move these ideas along to the city, to the department in the city attorney's office? See what I mean?
It probably makes sense to have a designated commissioner to make a draft, and then to have that draft submitted to the city attorney's office, and then that could then be agendized, and then we could put it out for review also for the stakeholders, general public.
But I guess we don't really need to do that because Mr. Schaefer's already done it. I mean, he's already our person that, you know, that we already. So we'll just leave it like it is. And so Mr. Schaefer can make the few corrections that today that came up, just a few, and then pass it to the department and the city attorney for review, and it comes back for us to agendize. Okay.
We could have a draft agenda.
All right, well then. Anybody have any questions?
And we
can
take public comment, everything like that.
And then we'll have a public comment, yeah. Do we have time to do all that?
I think
everything will be moved up.
Yeah.
They're going to move that election in 2019. I'm thoroughly
I don't know. Okay.
I'm thoroughly
convinced. Like, I'll wait till I see final action on that. And then we're going to ask them to move very quickly on this if we want to implement any type of changes, only because of the time frame to ensure that any subdivided groups would be in alignment for 2019 elections.
So we'll have time. So should we put like a time limit that this gets to you? Can we like agendize it for another one of our, you know, for general public comment and one of our, like in the next 2 months or the next month, you know, to get it on so that we can get public comment from our neighborhood councils?
I will. Well, not tonight or tomorrow. Finish up my own neighborhood council stuff, but I'll get right on it. I'll put those things in. Okay. I'll get it transmitted to our city attorney, who will get it transmitted to other portions of the city attorney's office, and I will bug them every couple of days and such. And I would say if we put it on our next meeting agenda, with any good fortune, maybe we'll have a version that comes out and goes forward. Well, if we're fortunate, we'll get one.
So next meeting agenda, something you hope?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who pushes the city attorney's office. Okay.
Okay. We have a comment from Mr. Bailey on item number 13.
Thank you, Glenn Bailey. So first of all, a couple of, I'm not sure if you addressed these or not. The five occurrences of the word affected, I believe it should be affected with an A. Also in the last paragraph under regulations, I believe you're missing the last two words where it says during any and then it stops. I believe it should say any calendar year, period. Now for my substantive comments. I had commented on this issue previous commission meetings, and one of my comments had to do with utilizing the early notification system for the outreach. And I believe, since you are drafting this, you can and ought to put that in there. I believe in terms of notifying folks, people who've signed up for early notification system have demonstrated an interest in what's going on with those respective neighborhood councils. And so it, in addition to notifying the neighborhood council, I would say put in utilizing the city's early notification system and also include one or more of those lists, depending on whether it's a subdivision of one neighborhood council or affecting more than one. And that's for the notification part. I would also suggest that under outreach by the department, that the same that same resource, the early notification, be used, not specifying every single outreach that the department can do, but that's a no-brainer because you don't have to, doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is put the notice out and send it in via ENS. So I would say add it under outreach under ENS. That way it's in the ordinance. There's no debate. It has to be done. And it's an existing city program or process. And if people are interested, they can sign up for it with, you know, the subdivision or just interested in the particular neighborhood council. So those are my specific comments.
Okay, that's it for item number 13. Item number 14, discussion and possible action to appoint an ad hoc committee to review the Neighborhood Council Best Practices Questionnaire and the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners Best Practice Policy for possible modification. This is Commissioner Lipman's thing.
Yes.
Commissioner Lipman.
So the BONC passed a policy over, I think, 7 years ago that was sort of a best it was a policy on best practices, and it was put on the website, and it says a PDF, and not only does it need updating, but it's sort of an inaccessible document. And really could be serve the purposes of neighborhood councils much better if we come up with a different concept of what it could be. And so the point of this ad hoc committee would be to review that and update that policy. So I've sort of offered to chair that. I guess stepping back a little bit, one of the conversations we had with Council Member Ryu about the direction of the committee and the commission is if the city council does decide to push back elections by a year to 2019, it affords us a little bit more time to address a number of policies that that neighborhood councils should weigh in on. And it's been 4.5 years since the last review initiative happened, and then the previous one happened 5 years prior to that in 2008, and so it might be a really good opportunity, since we have a little bit of extra time, I know we don't have a lot of time, to consider a review initiative similar to the one that, or not similar, but in the same vein that was done previously. And we can roll in this, the best practices, we can roll in funding issues, we can roll in the subdivision policy, we can roll in online elections, and have this review initiative process kind of address all of them simultaneously through a representative group of neighborhood council leaders. So that was kind of the conversation, and I wanted to put it out there so that folks maybe from the public could comment, but also commissioners could comment, or department might want to comment on something of that nature. But I know, Len, you were involved with that process, correct?
Yes.
It affords us an opportunity to kind of have a strategic direction for BONC. You know, since we've had quite a few new commissioners and it's been 5 years, it's always good to every 5 years to, you know, and we've addressed many, if not all, of the recommendations from the review committee,
from the review process. The more I thought about it over the weekend, the more I realized it sort of is kind of a good possible timing to do it, particularly if those elections are moved back to 2019. If not, then it'd be too rushed.
Commissioner Schaefer, you had Mark, are you getting ready to say something?
He's typing.
I was typing. I just want to clarify that what Commissioner Lippman is talking about is setting up working groups throughout the city as we did back in 2012, 2013. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but to review all of these items, and we have sort of a list of items that we've put, that we're discussing: funding, best practices, subdivision, that we're all sort of requesting, and online voting that we've been and will be requesting feedback from the neighborhoods. And Councilman Ryu has expressed an interest in moving on a lot of them, but if we can create at least some sort of consensus or generate some good ideas on, what we should do with neighborhood council funding, so there is some consensus around that. I think it affords us the opportunity to address all of these and identify ways that, we either move this through the commission as a policy or the committee and city council as needed. And we can even touch on community interest stakeholder definition. Because that's still an outstanding issue on who has authority over that. I know you're shaking your head, but I think this is an opportunity for us to really step back, invigorate the process again, invigorate BONC and really make it relevant again, and provide for sort of an open, transparent dialogue amongst neighborhood council leaders five years after, this is the chance if the elections are moved back by a year. And it actually gives good reason to move the elections back by a year as well, other than the other issues that have been stated by the city clerk. It actually gives us an opportunity to say, okay, we have a little bit extra time. Let's use that time to do some really good work and get us ready for the 2019 elections.
By the way,
Commissioner Atkinson just had one point. Commissioner Lippman has brought up every single issue that we talked to the councilman about, and we can't put it all under one ad hoc committee, I don't think. Yeah. And even we said that that's a lot of issues, but they're all important issues. We can't take care of them all at once, but we want to do it quick while he's still in office, right?
Yeah.
But I think the ad hoc committee, this particular ad hoc committee, was talking about one practice, but maybe we could throw something else under there, the best practices policy, but I'm thinking funding and subdivision, that's a whole nother kind of structural subject that wouldn't fall under best practices.
So what I mean? I guess maybe what I'm suggesting with this agenda item is maybe tabling it for the moment and having some conversations with the department about seeing what happens next week with council and committee in terms of the elections. If they push it back, having a conversation with the department of how do we set up a reform and review initiative process that underlines these multiple items as part of the thinking on that.
We will have to have a meeting on that because the councilman and we were pretty clear on what we thought should be changes, and his office was taking notes, and we were taking notes, and so we do need to meet with you discuss all those issues, specific issues, some of which he said he had already spoken to you about too. So we need to get together on that. So we'll just wait till after next week, when they extend the election to 2019.
Hopefully that'll be this week. May I?
Yes.
I just. To put in perspective, what we did was put together three working groups around the city to review the plan, to set them up took, I'm trying to remember if it was about 3 months to set them up. something like that, 2 or 3 months to set up those working groups. Then once they'd been set up, we had our first meeting in January of 2013, I think. I'd have to go back and look. It was right after the first.
It took about 6 months.
And then.
Oh, sorry, guys. Commissioner Maggie, Derek, Carroll. I'll be leaving in 20 minutes.
Okay. Then I'll get this fast. Then it took us until till June. I think it was June or July. I can't remember which. To have our final meetings where we had all of the working group members in one place. So we're talking about an 8 or 9 month process is what we're talking about. And then, of course, we had to submit those, and then some of them went to council for ordinances and such.
Yeah.
So it's a thought, but I think that's a whole different process.
Well, I understand that, but if they postpone the elections to 2018, that means 18 months from 2019, then it means 18 months. You know, and I think it, you know, and I think some of those things can be fast-tracked. I think the process can be streamlined a little bit. I was told that the review process was good in the geographic areas, but once it got to that big meeting, it was a little unwieldy. So maybe we create a structure similar to the budget advocates and budget reps, but, you know, where each geographical region appoints two people to kind of represent their interests. But I think we can create an invigorating process. We have two new commissioners coming in. I think there's a lot of fresh energy with the new committee that I think, you know, I think it would really benefit the neighborhood council system. And to be quite frank, we hear this a lot from stakeholders of what does BONC do? And I think this could give real direction to BONC and to the committee and to the work that we do as we further refine the system and really make and strengthen the 2019 elections. That's my sense on it.
But I think the plan of action is that we'll wait till after the next city council hearing, then we'll meet with the department, talk about some of the issues that we've outlined and how we set up, either one, two, three, or four ad hoc committees or one big one. We can discuss that after the next council meeting. There are some issues, be quite frank, that I think the councilman did want to address fairly soon. So we'll have to learn all that and see what we want to tag on to first. Okay. All right. That was that. Item number 15, public comment discussion regarding recommendations. Well, this is probably the same thing. Recommendations to the commission related to neighborhood council funding. Didn't we want to set up something for the neighborhood council funding?
Yeah, that was going to be a single working group, and now that we have two new commissioners coming online, I think as a courtesy to them, we should wait until they're online, because we'll be choosing people from their regions, and rather than usurping their authority, we'll let them participate. And that should not take very long once they're installed.
Sure.
To get the members of that working group together and get everybody working.
And it fits into what we've been discussing.
And it's definitely a priority for Councilman Reed
to address this issue
as well. So.
Okay.
Okay. And that was item number 15. I'm sorry. Do we have a public comment for item 15? I have no name.
Nameless.
Item number 15, but was that Mr. Fortas or was that Glenn and you forgot to put your name on it? Or Mr. Blank?
Whose name is on that one?
No, this is item 15 also.
Yeah, whose name is on that?
Oh, maybe you did it twice. Mr. Fortas. You're up here for number 15. And then there's a blank one for
that's
number
Glenn's.
15. That's Glenn. Okay.
Glenn Bailey, I think it would be helpful as you move forward on this to put some parameters, especially for the two new commissioners who haven't heard the concerns about equity and of the different challenges different neighborhood councils have. So maybe a paragraph in referencing just as a preamble for the purposes of this work group. The second thing is urging that there be some accountability for the outreach that's being done. I can only tell you during the last more than a year since Lydia Grant left the commission, there was zero outreach done by the commissioner for the North Valley. So hopefully the new commissioner will do a better job, but I want to make sure that there's communication going to all the neighborhood councils. And of course, that's true of all areas, but I point that out because it didn't happen for the last 14 months. So, and there may be other areas of the city, maybe the harbor, I don't know. So if you could please make sure that happens, do it yourself, ask for copies, something, so that we make sure that all the neighborhood councils have gotten adequate notice to submit nominees and be aware of this. But please do give people an idea of what you're looking at, what the issues are that you're looking at. I know, but everyone else doesn't know.
Mr. Fortas.
Gary Fortas. I find myself in an ongoing controversy regarding prudent fiscal stewardship of public funds and the city charter's intent for neighborhood councils, specifically problems regarding subsidizing budgeted city departments, budgeted city entities, and NPGs that virtually are gifting with no return on investment. Therefore, it is my concern that NDCs should focus upon outreach per the city charter with return on investment. Examples, candidate forums, which I never virtually see. I've only seen a few in the 14 years I've been involved. And land use issues, which I've actually seen many times literally pack a room. But land use committees aren't doing this in the past several years that I've witnessed any, especially my own. Events, I would like to see them with something better than just a freebie and a giveaway, and thank you very much, I'll come back next time you have something for free, because they're not accomplishing the outreach that were intended. The information I've received from Gracie, thank you, is that we had $2.5 million left of NC funds with but 12 weeks to virtually just simply dispose of it. This attitude of we don't want to give it back to the city and then we just go through this frenzy is an annual event. So my point here is I would like to see some policies established that actually get us back on track with public funds. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, no other speakers for item number 15, so we are almost done. Number 16, discussion and possible action regarding Board of Neighborhood Commissioners newsletter. We have another one coming out anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was going to say in the next commission business that I've been a little busy. I had to leave our meeting a month ago a little early because I thought my wife was going into labor, and then she actually did go into labor 24 hours later, and I've had a newborn, so things are a little crazy in the Lippman household, but very everyone's doing well. But I haven't had a chance to write a newsletter. But we should write one soon because we've got new leadership and then also some new commissioners. So we'll want to update bios and we'll want to communicate new leadership and talk about anything else. Are there items that we should be... Do we want to put out, Len, and this is a question to you, do we want to put out your recommendations to update the administrative code on subdivision and ask for people to comment, or do we want to wait on that?
I think it would be wisest to wait on any update, on any comments or massage of the language by the city attorney.
Okay.
When do you expect to get it out? You might not get out the newsletter until after we've had the...
I'll bring some language to the next meeting. Right. Thank you. But do you think by the next meeting we would have something that we'd want to share? Or?
You're asking a question I can't answer. I'll stay on them and bug them, but that's the best I can do.
Okay. All right. So much for the newsletter. Last item. Commission business, comments from commissioners on subject matters within the board's jurisdiction. Does anybody want to talk about anything they've been doing particularly?
I had a baby.
Yeah, and that is real commission business.
Vice President Levin.
I think Mrs. had the baby.
Right, she did. Yes, my family had a baby.
A little something to do.
He was cheery.
The only thing I have to report on, and we've already said it, Commissioner Lippman and I had a really nice meeting with Councilman Rue about a lot of different issues, and a good conversation afterwards also with Nick Grief. Anyway. So we're going to carry through with some of those ideas and try to keep a line of communication between the City Council and us. So that was, and then number two, so the department has implemented, what have they implemented? Is that a podcast? They've implemented a podcast where they do, you know, interviewing, and it's, you know, on the web. And so I interviewed today with Brett Shears. And we talked about neighborhood council business, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No, just the good and the bad. And it was interesting. He had done one other one, and so this was the second one. So I guess it's going to be on a regular basis. He said it may take about a month. So I talked too much, so he has to do a whole lot of editing to get it down to 20 minutes. But anyway, so that was interesting, and it was fun to do. And that should, you know, hopefully somebody listens to it. Hopefully. So that's what I've been doing.
I had a question. That's pretty awesome, by the way, Vice President Lemon. I had a question about that. Is there a reason it's being done on YouTube rather than like a podcasting site, like one of the feeds like Apple's podcast or SoundCloud or...
Gracie Liu, General Manager, Department of Neighbor Empowerment. You know what? I'll go back and ask staff. I think they were just trying to get something up pretty quickly, so we're going to look at maybe possibly setting up something. I don't know what it takes to set something up like that.
It takes a couple weeks for Apple to approve it for their podcast, but the reason I would suggest that is because when you listen or watch something on YouTube, I typically watch things on my commute, right, or listen to things,
right.
Not watch, obviously. But listen to things on my commute. And if you're in another app other than YouTube, it stops playing. But you can download a podcast onto your phone and then listen to it in the background while you're checking the news or reading emails, which is typically what I do when I'm not driving, when I'm taking the train.
You're very clear.
So that's why I would recommend. And I think there is one that is easier to get on. I think it's called SoundStream. It's a free podcasting platform, but I would recommend that just for the ability to be able to download it and listen to it, because I did download and listen to the first one. It was very sweet with Tom Soong, and I'm definitely going to listen to my colleague. But it'd be helpful if it was available on a downloadable system rather than YouTube, which is not.
Millennials.
No, it's just the technical, you know, and.
Well, gee, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Do we have to have a second? Do we have a second for adjournment?
I am Maggie Derek Curls. Would like to second.
But we don't have to vote.
All right, just find out if anybody has an objection.
Yeah.
No objection. Any objections? No objection. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I raised my hand because.